"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 to 4 on the radio after 4 o'clock. If you missed anything, you can hear the John and Ken on demand podcast.
Or John will come to your home and redo the show for you in person.
That's right. I'll reenact.
We're going to make that's a new offer.
With puppets.
The Moist Line is coming back in 3 days. And this is a heads up because we have not played the Moist Line in a couple of weeks. We'd certainly like some fresh input. Use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. Of course, the big story over the weekend and then yesterday, too, was trying to find out who killed an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy by the name of Ryan Klinkenbrunner. He was apparently about to go on duty in Palmdale when he was shot to death in his patrol car. They did arrest a man for the killing who has now confessed. His name is Kevin Salazar, and the family's telling us that he has a long history of psychological mental problems, paranoid schizophrenia. Anyway, we're going to bring on Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, and we learned that Mr. Salazar, of course, had weapons, including the gun used in the killing that appears to have been legally purchased. So let's find out more on this story.
Yeah, hey there, guys. So a couple new tidbits today. We know from 2 law enforcement sources that have been briefed on the case that they believe that gun that killed Deputy Klinkenbrunner appears to have been bought legally by Kevin Salazar and did not raise any red flags when he went to buy it and sailed right through without any issues as it was bought. Even though his family claims that he had this history of mental health battles, that he had been hospitalized in Sylmar, it appears, diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, may have been on 5150 on mental health holds, but that he was able to, with nothing alarming, be able to buy that gun. And his mom has said that she called law enforcement repeatedly for him not taking his meds and that she was told, well, he's 29 years old, there's nothing we can do. That they were aware of it and that they knew that there was a history of it. His sister is saying this.
My brother had schizophrenia. He's bipolar. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Families need to understand that there's another side to this story, too, and that we're hurting as well.
Okay, so that brings up the question of how, if it was that documented, he was able to walk in and buy a gun legally, or when he made the purchase, how he's able to do it legally. That should have barred him from buying a gun. We have reached out to California DOJ. They handle the background checks. They have not responded. We've asked the LA County Sheriff's Department for a history of calls to the family home that the mom claims that she had been making to know, was she calling the Sheriff's Department, and what was the outcome of those calls. The Sheriff's Department has not provided that to our request for that list. But the sheriff yesterday, when he was asked about, okay, what about possible mental illness, either now or before at some point, this was Sheriff Luna's answer yesterday.
Think about this. If I had to go to your family and tell them that you were not coming home and you were just murdered, does it matter what the person was thinking or their condition?
But it does bring up a lot about, you know, how did he get this weapon that was used? His mom saying her son is sick and has been for a very long time. The other thing, guys, is we were told by a number of different sources last night that Salazar has admitted to the crime to the LA County Sheriff's investigators. That motive still remains unknown, but that he admitted that, according to these sources, that he carried it out. And we're waiting today for him to be charged. He's being held on suspicion of murdering the deputy, but the actual charges from the DA have not come yet. We expect he will be in court tomorrow morning. The charges will probably come tonight or early tomorrow morning, but then have his court appearance tomorrow at 8:30.
How is it supposed to work, Alex? Do you know? In California always says we have great gun laws. If somebody's got a documented mental illness, does somebody have to put in paperwork to keep them from getting a gun? I mean, how does it work?
Well, if he goes on a mental health hold that is documented, if he is hospitalized, as the family claims that he was, and a lot of this is trying to, because of HIPAA laws and different health laws, actually getting an answer to a lot of this right now and getting agencies to tell us what his health history is a little bit tough, especially this soon since everything has been unraveling. But if he goes on a documented hold, that should be inputted through a system that the DOJ has set up so that it flags in the system when his name is run. Now, there's been some confusion over his name and how he has, you know, four different names if you include middle name and last name. And was all of it in there? Could that have created some kind of confusion in the system when running his name, that it wasn't exactly the same as what was in the system? We understand from members of law enforcement behind the scenes today, there is a lot of confusion in this, and that they are trying to decipher, how did he not flag when he bought this gun? There was also confusion, we understand, leading up to this point, because dad had a number of guns. You heard the sheriff yesterday say that they confiscated, they seized multiple weapons inside the family home. It was explained to us that then that created confusion because they thought, well, they all belonged to dad. And then as they were going through them just this morning, we were told, whoop, we got one that was his, and that it was the murder weapon, and it was registered to him, and he bought it legally. So originally, it appears that there was some belief that, well, he just took a gun from the home, and now they realize, no, one of these he did actually go in and buy. But how did he do it? They don't know yet.
And how's it going to work in the next phase here in the legal system? I imagine that whoever he gets as defense counsel is going to claim this mental illness as a reason.
I would assume that's a very good bet. We don't know who his attorney is going to be yet. I would assume it's going to be a public defender. I don't know. When he appears in court tomorrow, the judge hasn't ruled if microphones and cameras will be allowed in. The world may get to see this guy in court tomorrow morning, assuming that the charges are actually filed tonight, as it sounds like they may be, and that then we'll know more. But it would be a good bet. He's at Twin Towers right now in downtown, that whoever his attorney ends up being, that they're going to say, whoa, 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 you know, that they probably will have just gotten this case and just met him, and say that they need time to look over his mental health history and paranoid schizophrenia and all of that. And then probably the arguments will be made that he needs counseling right now, that he needs medication right now.
Counseling?
Well, you know,
what are they
going
to say to him? Don't shoot another cop?
Yeah, or that he needs to be in a special ward of Twin Towers. We don't know. He may be right now. He's just listed as being in Twin Towers. If he's in the general population, isn't totally clear. But no doubt, based on what the family is saying here, that whoever his attorney ends up being, whether it be in private practice or a public defender, that they're probably going to go down the mental health side of things. But you know, bottom line, for the sheriff's investigators, for the homicide unit, for the sheriff himself, for Palmdale Station, they got who they think their guy is. Now it's going to be trying to put the whole thing together. And, you know, as the sheriff said, that the most important thing is that they got that threat off of the street. I can tell you on Sunday night, I guess it was, before the capture on Monday morning, talking to a number of street-level deputies, there was a lot of concern because who was this who was out there? And were they targeting just anybody in a black and white and in a uniform? And they didn't know. And so at least this slows it down a little bit now
and allows them to
put it all together.
Where in his, you know, confused mind, where he probably had imaginary people talking to him and giving him
according
orders.
According to his mom, yeah.
Yeah. And so I wonder if a lot of the anti-police rhetoric got into his head, too. And he
quite
felt
possibly,
like he had to
do
something.
Maybe. Who knows? Or, you know, we understand there was a hit and run or at least a road rage incident, not a hit and run, a road rage incident right beforehand. Did that somehow anger him? Did he have some kind of bad interaction with police in that, or, you know, just that he got ticked off in general? Who knows? And a lot of that we'll start to understand probably during the trial process. But, you know, like so many of these, you think of the shooter in Boulder, Colorado. Remember that King Soopers case?
Yeah.
They're still 2 years later arguing over, is he mentally fit to go on trial? And the state just ruled that he is perfectly mentally fit to go on trial, but his attorneys are still saying, no, he's not. And they're still arguing over that. So this could very much go down that road as well.
Right. All right, Alex, thank you so much for that report.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone.
No part of the system works in this story. Nothing.
No, I mean, they always tout this idea that, oh, we're going to get you, we're going to block you from buying a legally weapon because you're on a mental health list.
Can you imagine all the shouting, all the yelling, all the talk for decades, right? How long are you alive? Was there a day you haven't heard people bellowing about guns? And then when the moment comes where it matters, what kind of bureaucracy we set up, what kind of law, how is it executed? The whole thing falls apart. It's just a complete disaster. Crazy person goes in with a long, crazy history that's documented. Supposedly, it's, you know, in the state records, and doesn't matter. He gets a gun and he blows a sheriff's deputy away. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. No mental health aid here. Nothing. Nothing works.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
If you were listening to us last hour, we were talking to Steve Gregory, KFI News, about what's going to happen on October 1st in Los Angeles County. A new bail schedule, basically, for a lot of crimes that people commit. No bail at all. All right. That doesn't mean murderers and rapists, but as John pointed out, car thieves.
Car thieves.
A good example.
Somebody could steal your car and there's no bail anymore. And that is going to happen. What day is today? Today's the
September 19th.
So in
two weeks.
12 days, a guy could steal your car, no bail.
Well, we did some digging and we think we know where this came from. And I knew I had seen this story earlier in the year. A couple of listeners sent us. His name, Judge, is John, is Lawrence Riff. L.A. County Superior Court Judge Lawrence Rift ruled in favor of a group of six activists who brought a lawsuit against the county, alleging that the previous system favors the affluent. All of the plaintiffs say they suffered under the cash bail system.
Affluent people don't steal cars.
I know.
That's stupid. That's ridiculous. They carry on about how much money someone makes. They're obsessed with the color of the perpetrator. All that matters is this guy stole somebody's car.
And you I guess if you had a wealthier person who committed like a white collar crime of embezzlement, he could make bail because he has more assets.
So then
but they're saying a poor guy that steals a car because he can't.
Then don't steal the car. If you don't steal the car, you don't have to worry about it or charge higher bail for the white collar criminal. It doesn't mean you let criminals run free without any consequences. These activists are such bozos. They are such insufferable bozos, and I can't believe judges are going for it, but I think a lot of activists are now being appointed as judges.
Well, Riff said in his decision, it's unconstitutional to keep people behind bars simply for the reason they're in poverty. It's not a legal form of punishment.
But you have to charge them enough bail. So
there has to be consequences. So, you're right, they'll just go back out and do more robbing.
So they're forced to attend their trial. That's right. The purpose of bail. So you attend the trial or you lose the bail money. That's the lure. It's got to be high enough to punish somebody. You can't give poor people the right to steal whatever they want just because they're poor. That's absurd.
Those arrested for theft, shoplifting, drug use, vandalism, and battery will go free under the new bail schedule. So, however, it does say if you commit a second crime while waiting trial on those charges, you'll be subject to bail. So you can't do this like twice if they do catch you the second time and bring you in. They'll probably charge you a bail. As Steve said, they bring in a magistrate who's supposed to make a ruling. Right.
Well, yeah, except it's the first step towards what they have in New York City, where it just seems to be unlimited crimes that people commit, and they're never held on bail, so they keep committing more crimes.
According to this story, I guess Fox 11 did this story, the L.A. County Deputy D.A. John McKinney, who we know, by the way, is running for George Gascon's job, said that the judge invited law enforcement officials to come forward and argue against his ruling, and he was surprised nobody came forward. I wonder why that happened.
Is that true?
So he just had the six activists and their lawyer arguing to get rid of the bail system, and he allegedly didn't have anybody from law enforcement come in and make the argument to keep the bail schedules in place.
See, this is what, going back to Steve's letter that he brought in here, which was from an association of law enforcement agencies throughout the county, and it was mealy-mouthed gibberish. It seemed that they were reluctant to take a stand about anything. And so they just put out a lot of verbiage that you couldn't follow and made no sense. So I don't know. Has all the law enforcement agencies been corrupted by the woke virus too? There's like nobody standing up for us anymore? Nobody is standing up for normal people? Nobody? Not law enforcement, not the judges, the whole system that we relied on. Everybody went to the dark side. Everybody's saluting the woke flag now. Everybody's worried about what your race is and how much money you made. And nobody wants to punish a guy who steals your car.
Lead attorney for the lawsuit was Salil Dudani, who said in court, example, vandalism. That's a charge several of our clients were arrested on. That's a $20,000 bail amount. And the officer claimed you committed vandalism. That'll be your bail amount for 2 to 5 days without any lawyer or judge looking at this. He says he claims when it eventually gets to a judge, a lot of his cases are dismissed. But by then, his clients have already spent several days in jail.
So what?
Lose their jobs and stuff like that.
Well, then don't do the crimes.
Don't commit vandalism.
All committed the crimes. It's just they don't prosecute anymore for the crimes. It doesn't mean the crimes didn't exist. Of course they existed. They've sanitized a lot of people's rap sheets now, and everyone's pretending that this isn't going on.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the air from 1 until 4 every day, and then after 4 o'clock, whatever you missed, you can listen to the John and Ken On Demand podcast on the app.
Yeah, in fact, an hour ago, we hauled out the tongue bath desk because Gavin Newsom referred to the Biden administration as a masterclass in how to run the country.
He slobbered. I mean, he saturated Joe.
Oh, my God. We didn't even have to fill the tub. It was all his saliva.
God. Nothing embarrasses him. He's a fascinating guy. He says some of the stupidest things. I mean, that gushing on Biden is something literally no one else is doing. No one else in the country is gushing unless they're on Biden's payroll.
Well, there's a Democrat in Ohio. It's a Democrat, not obviously at the level of Gavin Newsom as governor of California. She's the leader of the Democratic Party in Lorain County in Ohio, but she told the Washington Post, as for Biden, he's in a period of his life where passing and death is imminent. It's a strange way to put it. We are all on a ticking clock, she said. When you're at his age or Trump's age, that clock is ticking a little faster, and that's got to be a concern for voters. A story the Post did about increasing concerns over Joe and his viability.
Death is imminent. This is Sharon Sueda. She's the leader of the Democratic Party in Lorain County in Ohio.
Yeah. That's just the way to put it. Death is imminent when you're in your 80s.
She's
imminent could be 10 years. That's not imminent, right?
Yeah, but look at him. You know what he's taught the country? I think a lot of people are now recognizing the symptoms that they can see in their parents or their grandparents. It's like this has been a study in watching someone with dementia. How quickly does the decay occur? You know, look at Joe, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you can see.
But he's got the qualities of youth. That's what Newsom said. Of youth.
That's what's so funny is no one sees that because it's not there. It's actually...
The old strategist James Carville told the New York Times, voters don't want this. It's in poll after poll after poll. Biden is not viable.
70% of the Democrats say he's too old. Too fragile.
Now
he's wheezing away. 70% of the
I don't think he wants this, right? And what's that story that apparently he's concerned he won't live long enough to see Hunter Biden's legal troubles?
Well, that was the other death story today, that Joe himself is afraid he's going to die soon.
And, well, Hunter Biden will always be in legal trouble. That's who he is. Right?
Yeah, there's no way for Joe to live long enough for Hunter to be past his legal
problems. What is Hunter in his 50s? How old is he? Because he's, you know, you would think he'd grow out of your wild horror years, but it doesn't seem like he ever does.
No, because 53? No, because he's a con man. He's just a lifetime criminal.
Yes.
I mean, he's a lawyer. Enough said right there.
Now, on the other side of this, believe it or not, a week from tomorrow, debate number 2. Among the Republican presidential candidates, and it's here in Southern California, the good old Ronald Reagan Presidential Library is where they will be. I don't know how many there are this time. Is it going to be the same crowd we saw last month, I guess?
Well, that crowd did not
move the needle
at all. They didn't. No, I mean, they're even farther back behind Trump now.
I mean, they got a lot of coverage because it was a presidential debate. But you're right. Within a day or two, that's nothing. Right?
That's what I'm saying. They got a lot
back
of coverage.
Back to normal. There's the polls show Trump's way ahead.
And all the Republican voters said, nothing special.
Nice to hear from you, but you know, we're staying with our guy.
Yeah, go back home.
So, not surprisingly, Trump will not be amongst the debaters. Instead, he's going to go to Michigan. He's going to visit Detroit on the day of the primary to meet with members of the United Auto Workers Union. What do you think Trump stands on that? I have no idea.
Does it matter?
That's how he ran his 2016 campaign for the working man, right? Trying to bring the jobs back to America.
Yes,
that was his big deal.
That's how he won.
Right.
Not that he did anything about it after he became president, but yeah, that was the good message that excited people. It's funny. Just so much of this is silly. There's nothing any of these candidates are going to say next week that's going to change anything, unless Trump dies or somehow these
you
trials.
You can't beat a guy that's been indicted four times.
Yeah, right. I mean,
you can't move the poll numbers. I don't know what you expect.
And everybody's 40 and 50 points behind. So
it's not even close.
None of the Republican primary voters care. They just don't care.
If he's got 40% of the party, is it 40 we're seeing that roughly are going to stick with him no matter what? You know, then the other 8-9 candidates have to divide the other 60%. That's crumbs.
It's the same thing that happened in 2016. There were so many opponents that they divided the anti-Trump vote so many different ways. If you had a one-on-one and then the other candidate really focused on Trump, maybe something could happen. But when you have like 8 guys and you know, a lot of them are boobs. I mean, they're really embarrassing boobs. I mean, Asa Hutchinson. I mean, for good. What's going on? How do these guys get up in the morning and think that they can win a presidential race?
Yeah, because apparently YouGov just put out a new poll. It says here... While last month Biden led Trump 47-41%, it's not looking that way. His advantage has evaporated. According to this new survey, Biden and Trump would now tie at 44% apiece among registered voters if the election were held today, with just 7% undecided. So,
yeah, there's no guessing turnout, and there's also no guessing what's going to happen with the trials and if their outcomes are going to have any effect. I mean, what if he actually gets convicted and sent to prison? Does that change anything when it comes to voting? I don't know. None of this follows anymore.
Oh, here's an interesting question, too. Comparing Biden's age to Trump's legal problems, 52% say Biden's age is a big problem, whereas 47% think Trump's criminal problems are a big problem. So it's a wider margin of people think that the Biden AIDS thing is a bigger issue than even Trump's criminal issue, legal issues.
Trump can fight and maybe win in these trials, or he can claim that the whole system is rigged and it's deep state trying to sink him, right? Biden can't claim he's going to get younger. He can't claim that his brain damage is going to get reversed.
He's
going to be more feeble. A year from now, in September of 2024, 2 months before the election, he's going to be noticeably more feeble than he is now. They're going to have to hide him.
He'll be almost 82, right?
And I'm thinking, why are they hiding him? You know, the Biden doesn't control the Democratic Party.
He made a big UN speech today, didn't he? No.
Teleprompter. I didn't watch. I don't know.
I saw the headlines about Ukraine and stuff like that. So.
I mean, plus his policies have sucked. I mean, look what's happened at the border just today. I mean, there's 10,000 people stomping over the border today. And
people are still bothered by inflation.
I'm the gas being $6.30.
People do take it out on
when the gas hits $6, everybody should be forced out of office. There should be mass resignations.
All right, we got more. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We are collecting voicemails for the Moist Line, so leave them using the iHeartRadio app. the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll hear from the Moist Line callers Friday during this 3 o'clock hour. And, of course, we did not play any last week, so it ought to be quite an interesting backlog. Well, there are people in the world we are in today who like to identify as something other than maybe how you see them, right? Maybe somebody wants to be identified as a man that you think looks like a woman or the vice versa, whatever. But, you know, now we have people that they want to identify as dogs.
There's more.
1,000 of them gathered in Berlin. 1,000 people who prefer to be recognized as not humans but canines organized a gathering at the Berlin-Potsdamer Platz railroad station in Germany.
Is this not really disturbing? And these are Germans.
Well, they probably are mostly.
There's 1,000 Germans who want to dress up as a dog?
They could have come from countries around there, and social media brought them together to meet at the train station, right? You can just take a train in there and stand there.
I don't know.
They howled and barked at each other.
Yeah, I see pictures of this.
What they did are they dressed up like, they have little dog ears on and stuff.
Yeah. No, they're dressed as dogs. They identify as dogs. This is their fetish. This is one woman calls it her kink. So they get, I told you, the furries.
So you think it's pure sexual?
Yeah, I do. Because the whole thing about.
Oh, somebody made a good point, though. I don't see anybody smelling the tail of the others. There was lots of commenters on the gathering.
Don't think they can do that in public.
Well, John said it's probably sexual. That's why they are in this mode.
It's 1,000 people who prefer to be recognized not as humans, but canines. So they're not just dressed up in a goofy costume. They want to be known as a dog.
Yeah, I mean, we did that story a couple of months ago about that Japanese guy that spent $14,000 making a suit that makes him look like a collie, a dog. That's Toko.
There's furries.
This isn't going as far as that because they really just wear goofy little outfits and make them look like dogs, you know, dog ears. And
do they eat dog food?
That's a good question. That's what somebody else asked on social media. I don't see any dog food. And what happens if they all have to poop at the same time?
But animal-like behavior is a fetish. It's a kink.
Oh, you're right. A BDSM kink known as puppy play.
That's right, where participants, usually men, are equipped with muzzles, collars, or leashes and behave like a dog. Some OnlyFans models have become dogs, and they're getting paid. Apparently, guys will pay to watch women dressed up as dogs. One woman, Jenna Phillips, gets $10,000 a month for acting like a dog, collar and all. I never thought my weird dog kink would be looked at by a broad audience. So many people would like and care about it.
All right, so here's an expert that says you have to distinguish here. Therians, T-H-E-R-I-A-N-S, are people who identify as a creature other than human. Furries are people who enjoy cosplaying in animal suits. So the furries are probably the more sexual ones.
It says some furries are therians and some therians are furries.
Hmm.
A therian is short for a therianthrope. They believe that they are, for example, a cat soul reincarnated into a human body. Oh, I hope I never meet one of those people.
Tom Peters is a Brit who previously revealed he identified as a Dalmatian.
Hmm. Okay. The guys who are like this are especially disturbing.
To me, it's infantile. It's like an immature brain that does
it's a brain disorder. It's a brain disorder, and it's a sexual disorder.
And they
disorder.
Don't relate well to humans, so sink into some kind of other
I'm telling
identity.
You, that's why I don't go near those furries on Hollywood Boulevard, okay?
There are furries on Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
You're talking about the people on that dress up with the costumes like Marvel?
Some of them dress as animals, though.
Well, that's because they want to make money off of people on pictures.
No, it's because they're sick. That's why. Okay. Conway. Hey now. All right. There you go.
City of Los Angeles and Orange County launch a new financial program aimed at helping struggling renters.
So if you're a struggling renter, you may, help might be on its way.
No, that's all they do is help renters.
Yeah. How about homeowners?
How about the renters
go get a job? Yeah, about the people that own these buildings, landlords who are
renters go get a job and stop whining.
You know what? They would show that they had really big cojones if they came out one year and they said, hey, we're going to help people with yachts.
Yacht relief.
Yes, yacht relief. You know, people that spent the...
then we'd have like a Live Aid fundraiser.
$2 million in the boat. They can't afford the harbor, fees anymore. Help them out. Also, the gas price, we're topping $6 a gallon now.
John is mangling.
Oh, man.
$6.30 I paid.
Is that right? Today?
Yes.
Then ask him what he paid in Florida. Go ahead.
Ask me what I paid in Florida.
What did you pay in Florida, John?
$3.40.
Wow. Is that right?
Same week.
You should have brought some back in your suitcase.
There we go.
You know?
Bring a tanker.
Can you do that? Can you bring back
gas in a suit? It might be a liquid.
When you check in, you have to check that
you
little
box. You can't bring more than 3 ounces of gas.
But you're not bringing any gasoline in your bags. Yeah. It's a federal violation. All right. Sick.
All right. That and Mark Thompson's coming in today.
Oh, where is he?
He's on an audition right now.
We'll wait because he usually shows up with you. Just turn around and go back.
What's the auditioning for?
Okay. Girls Gone Wild. It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, thanks, guys.
He's a great co-host.
Yes, thank you.
Mark, please, God Almighty. All right, but I think it's Girls Gone Wild.
Mark's always a little aroused.
Wasn't that a DVD?
Girls, yeah, Girls.
Yeah,
Gone
it was
Wild.
A whole series.
Like 1999. Yeah.
Was it 1999?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was it like
all those girls are in their 50s?
That's the spring break partying kind of thing. Was it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Man. Oh man. We all know that.
Ding dong.
Girls Gone Wild. Really.
Dating ourselves.
Oh, that's
all
great.
Right. Bring it on.
Ding dong with you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Conway, Crozier is the news. Thompson coming in. Yep. It's the John and Ken show. And let's go to Crozier live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.